I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. My name is Iman, and today I'm joined with our draft expert, Stephen Gillespie. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Iman, thanks for having me. Glad you reached out. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited because, you know, it's draft season for everybody this time of year. And I'm just excited to talk about these prospects that are going to be the future NBA stars.
Thank you so much for joining us. And before we begin, I'd like to let you plug anything. Please tell everybody where they can find all of your work.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm active on Twitter, on social media, at Stephen G Hoops. That's Stephen with the PH, the letter G Hoops. All of my written work is available at NoCeilingsNBA.com. And for anybody who may not know a lot about draft prospects, we have covered well over like 80 individual prospects over at that website. And we've also mentioned like hundreds more. And that's available for free for anybody. A lot of draft sites like have paywalls and stuff like that behind them, but we try to give as best content as we can for free. And we also have a podcast where our shows are released 5 days a week during the season. And that's No Ceilings NBA. That's available anywhere you get your podcasts. And we also do like a lot of cool like video interviews, guest interviews. All of our shows are on YouTube as well at No Ceilings TV. That's where you can find all of our work.
Perfect. No, thank you so much. And as somebody who knows next to nothing, here's the thing. The Raptors, I wanted them to be good. And so I just decided to pretend that they were good for most of the year. And like, why do I have to worry about the draft? We're not going to have a lottery pick. And they make a trade at the trade deadline, trading away next year's pick. And so I'm like, they're going for it. This is a team that's buying. They're going for it. I don't have to worry about the draft. And now the lottery is upon us. Yeah. And I know next to nothing. So I'm so great to be able to like dive in and learn something about some of these prospects. Now, for the Raptors, unfortunately, it's not an opportunity where they can, there's always a chance that they can sneak into the top four like they did a couple of years ago, but it's very slim. They had like a 1% chance to get Victor Wembanyama, who I know about. That's one prospect I know about.
There you go.
I know something. But outside of that, they're more than likely going to have the 13th pick. I think it's a 93% chance for them to have the 13th pick according to, the draft site that's name is escaping me right now. Tankathon. There we go.
There you go. That's the one.
That's the one. So yeah, I was playing with it all morning, and I was just like, which is what I like to do, you know, in that 2021 season where I just kept clicking like simulate, and the Raptors stayed at 13 the entire time. I probably clicked it 100 different times. So I mean, probably going to have the 13th pick. So it's fun. I brought you on because I want to sort of take a look at this. I know that there are a lot of Raptor fans that have been looking at the draft and have been diving in, but I don't know how big college sports is here in Canada because, you know, it's a little bit different. We don't sort of have those same schools. I don't know, you know, people have ties to them so much. So I feel like there are a lot of Raptor fans that are coming into this not knowing who a lot of these guys are. If they're anything like me. So I'd love to have you on and pick your brain. This is like draft 101. This is draft for dummies.
Okay.
About some of the prospects. So I'm going to throw at you. I don't know how much you know about the Raptors, but first let me ask you, before we even get into the Raptors, just about the draft in itself. For a team that's looking at the 13th pick, you know, we know that the names are Scoot Henderson, there's Brandon Miller, there's all these guys at the top. But for teams that are looking for the mid to late lottery, what could they look to expect? Is there like a stud somewhere down there as well? Is it one of those deep draft classes?
I think there could be. And Iman, we see this every draft where we're like dead set, like this player is going to be a top 10 pick. And then for reasons that are not always explained, they kind of stumble down. I think even if everything goes according to my board that I do personally, I have hundreds of players on a board. I think that around 13, 14 range, there is still plenty of good prospects. Now, We'll dive into this a little bit more later, but I am extremely high on a particular prospect and where they are on my Ooh. Board and where the consensus, so to speak, is on this player probably might be available for the Raptors. And I think that he is like an absolute gem of a fit for you guys. I would be elated for you guys to have him because I think that y'all would do a good job in developing him. But overall, as far as like the depth of this talent, the prospects that are be available, and especially for the Raptors team needs, like this is a good draft. So okay. Even if you don't get that Victor Wembanyama that everyone is gunning for,
we'll just get Scoot and go home. We'll call it a day.
Yeah, there you go. You get Scoot and go home. But I think that around that 13 range, there are plenty of diamonds in the rough that could be at worst like valuable contributors to your team.
That's great to hear. I've heard a lot of draft projections about next season, and like that's the pick that the Raptors traded away. And yeah. By all accounts, it's probably safer to trade away next year's than this year's based off of what some of the people have kind of put out there as projections. So I'm really interested to hear who that sort of player you were talking about is. Let's pivot over to the Raptors and we'll get into that. So this Raptors team, as I mentioned, had hopes of, you know, they made the play-in. They wanted to be a playoff team, but of course they just didn't make it there because they couldn't make a free throw in the most important game of the season. But that's besides the point. Okay, so let's look at this. This is a team that wants to win right now. Now, if you are Masai Ujiri, if you had to put on your drafting hat and you were looking at a player who can not so much filling all their needs, but a player who is win now ready, can slot into the top six. Because I don't know how much you know about the Raptors, but one thing about them is they don't have a lot of rotation guys. They're not a lot of guys they trust. And, you know, they've got some young guys that they're developing, but right now there's just not a lot of guys that they trust to play. Who do you look at that can come into the league next season and can play? I mean, Nick Nurse is not coaching them, so probably not 40 minutes a night, but upwards of, you know, starter level minutes, even if they're not a starter right away, which I can't imagine anyone would be. So what are you looking at in terms of who can come in at around the sort of late lottery and play heavy minutes for a team looking to win?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the player that I have 13th on my board right now is Cason Wallace. Now, he is a guard that I think is well-suited to be a valuable contributor for years to come on any NBA team because he's the type of guard that can play next to like a jumbo creator. So Scottie Barnes on the Raptors, and then Pascal Siakam taking leaps as a playmaker as well.
Yeah.
Cason Wallace can come in and space the floor. Now, Kentucky was a weird team. They've been weird for the past few seasons, but he's about 6'4", a very reliable 3-point shooter, and probably pound for pound the best defensive playmaker on the perimeter in this class. So at 13, I think that if you add him to your rotation, there may not be as like high a star upside as some of these other names, but this could be a long-term starter for the Raptors for many, many years. And I know that the guard position has been a position of need for a little bit, especially in the creation aspect.
Oh yeah.
And I know that we'll get into some more of those guards, but if I had to just nail down one that would be available for the Raptors right at 13th on my board is Cason Wallace. And I think that he screams like a Masai Ujiri type of guard. Because he's defensive minded, he can shoot, and he's unselfish.
I mean, those are some of the top things on my list is having a guy who sort of meets that criteria. So I'm looking out for Cason. That's good to know. Like I said, this is all new information to me. But I love that you said, you know, the defense is sort of the first thing that sticks out at me because that's going to be something that I think a new player coming into the system is going to need, especially because the Raptors are probably, hey, Raptor fans, I mean, you have three free agents. The chance that you keep all of them, I think, is fairly slim. I think that one of the three are going to go, and it's probably going to be one of your guards. So we know that guards are going to be a part of focus for this entire podcast, although, you know, we might talk about a forward because Masai Ujiri is known to pick one of those up. I think a defensive-minded one because we saw, yes, the Raptors now have a rim protector in Jakob Poeltl, but they're point of attack defense really was bad last year for a good chunk of the year. And so they really need to improve that. And I think VanVleet being healthy certainly does that, but that's if they retain him. So that's really interesting. Cason. Okay. I like that name. And also, you know, you mentioned the thing about high upside, which I think is Oftentimes when we talk about drafts, we're looking for that guy, like who has the most upside that you can get. And you're picking at 13. What the Raptors have done, I think, really well is late in drafts, find guys like Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, granted with injuries, and all these guys that have really high upsides late in draft, but late in the draft. But the one time that they had a lottery pick prior to Scottie Barnes, they took Jakob Poeltl, who wasn't the high upside guy, but was just like, his floor is going to be high. We know that he's going to be a good basketball player, even if he doesn't have the upside of a Pascal Siakam. Those are two guys in the same draft. And so I think people see Masai as being someone who is a little risk taker with his picks, but I think he's actually proven to be more conservative when he does have a sort of mid to late lottery pick like Jakob Poeltl was. That was a 10th overall pick. And I think he went with the most conservative option there. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does the same this time. I think a lot of people are looking at upside, but I wouldn't put it past him to pick the safest bet there as well. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And I think too, like based on what we know about how Toronto has attacked the draft, or the great thing about the Raptors is that they kind of have like a template of a player at each position that they prefer. And
a power forward, point guard, power forward, center, power forward.
Correct, right? But I think that they identify those types of players in both the draft and in the trade market too. So I think that what we've seen with the Raptors kind of being a little bit deficient at that lead guard position, I think that we could acknowledge that probably benefit from having, you know, some relief for your front court players by adding at least one guard who 6'4", so he's not going to be like the biggest guard, but he's also not tiny either.
Yeah.
Right. He's super long, can defend the one and the two. So that's going to be valuable. And he's going to be able to play well off of and complement that front court. So a little bit of give and take, but not too much of an overbearing type of player that is going to like force the Raptors for whatever reason to change their style of play too terribly much, but can relieve those guys from, going deeper in their bag than I guess they necessarily have to.
I think that's sort of music to a lot of Raptor fans' ears. What everybody wants is just a 6'4 player. Like, can we get someone who's 6'4 to 6'6? Like, is that allowed? I think you're hitting the mark on everything that the Raptors team needs. And let's pivot to some of those things, because I've been looking at a lot of draft boards and mock drafts, and a lot of people are pointing to, do the Raptors maybe need a center? Do they maybe need a small forward? Because I guess if you're looking at the roster, those are some holes, but you mentioned it, the biggest one is still the guard position. They need more playmakers. They need more rim pressure. Like, can we get someone who can go downhill? Can we get someone who has a handle that you can trust there? And also point of attack defense is, I think, an area of emphasis. And most importantly, shooting. So let's actually start with shooting, because I think that is always going to be something that Raptor fans focus on. If you can focus on the shooting aspect of this draft, who are some names that Raptor fans should maybe dig into a little bit or really be hopeful that their team can pick up?
And so for shooting being the number one need that you have prioritized here, Iman, I think that this is the perfect draft class.
Love to hear it.
For you to kind of need that, because there is going to be no shortage of players available, even deep into the second round, in my opinion. But around the lottery range, I have four names that I would love to present the fans here. So the first one is Bryce Sensabaugh out of Ohio State. Now, he kind of feels like a Raptors-y player because he's a wing forward who's about 6'6", so a little bit undersized for the template that you're trying to follow there. But he's very strong. You know, he's kind of awkwardly built, but you know, the best part about the draft season now is you're starting to see these like workout pictures and stuff like that. And he looks like he's gotten into pretty good shape this offseason. And he's pretty much known for being a scorer, but I think the under-discussed aspect of his game is that he was a 40% three-point shooter in college. He's also capable of being able to take players off of the bounce too. So he has like that scoring, shooting aspect to his game. I actually have him one spot behind Kaysen because there is a little bit of a chance that some of the deficiencies in his game and some of the concerns might bear themselves out, but I think that he actually might have a little bit higher upside than a Kaysen Wallace. So it's kind of like a more risk reward type player,
right?
But there are a lot of guys that know ceilings. Like, if you're asking me about Bryce, I feel like I have him in a more conservative position. There are some guys that know ceilings that have him like top 10. So
really, can I ask, what are those deficiencies that have you kind of more conservative with him?
Well, so The thing about him and a couple other players in this draft is that he played on a team that didn't really pass the ball well. So that impacted his passing numbers. And I know that for Toronto, you're going to want to see someone who can come in and kind of help, you know, share the sugar a little bit. So that's a bit of a concern. Okay. A lot of his shots are kind of tough shots, but he makes them at good efficiency right now. Like overall from the field, he's a 48% field goal shooter. So although they look tough, he finishes well. There's just that little bit of like, is he going to be able to do that against elite NBA level competition on the perimeter? So that's a little bit of a concern of mine. I think that worst case scenario, though, you're looking at him being a pretty good 3-point shooter in the NBA, and the defensive concerns are also present a little bit too, which doesn't really pull at the heartstrings of a Toronto Raptors fan base, I understand. But if everything breaks right for him, you have an efficient, like kind of heliocentric type of offensive player, and you just kind of hope that the defense around him holds up to make him at least like a net neutral style defender. So that's one. And the next prospect,
I'm not mad at that. Like that kind of feels like a replacement for Gary Trent Jr., who's 2 inches taller, an inch taller. It feels very okay. I'm not mad at that. The Raptors are probably going to need a new sixth man. Or maybe they keep him, like, fingers crossed. But yeah, and then get both of them. Okay, I'll let you go to the next one. I'll stop interrupting.
No, please do. Please do. No, this is your great show.
I'm going.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's the thing. I don't shout out. Okay. Everybody who knows, anybody who watches this knows that. So I probably will, but I'll lie to myself and say that I won't continue to interrupt, even though.
Well, I've been married for 12 years, so I'm used to being interrupted. So we're fine on that front. But the next prospect I'd like to bring up is one that's fallen down boards a lot. Us at No Ceilings, I'm pretty proud of the fact that we're still kind of holding on hope that he is going to be a pretty good prospect. And I have him at 17th on my board. Again, there are more people at No Ceilings that are higher. I'm a little bit more conservative, I would say, with him. But even still, I have him at 17th, which is significantly higher than where you're going to find at some places. And that's Jet Howard out of Michigan. Now, again, another guy with a little bit of defensive concerns. He shot 41% from the floor, 37% from three, 80% from the free throw line. And he's a 14-point-per-game player at Michigan. Now, people are concerned about athleticism, defense, and stuff like that. At the end of the season, it was actually reported that he had two ankle injuries, that one on each ankle. So there are also injury concerns. But the thing is that he's like 6'8". So he's like a mountain of a player. If anything else, he's going to be a tremendous 3-point shooter. And he also possesses some good like tertiary playmaking, which again, for on the perimeter, on the wing, playing off of, you know, your star players there in Toronto, I think that Jet could complement them as well and give you some good size along the wing and good playmaking as well. So that would be my second player that I have here. My next two, Grady Dick, who I have at 16 out of Kansas. And then the last one is Max Lewis out of Pepperdine. I have him 19th on my board. Okay. Both of these guys shot very well from the floor. Max Lewis played on a poor defensive team in Pepperdine. So it's kind of one of those players that I don't know how much of the defensive concerns are him or that just the team as a whole could not play defense, but he's about 6'7". And early on in the season, he was breaking all kinds of shooting models, right? Like he was one of the best shooters in the first half of the season, like ridiculously good at shooting, not just like, oh, okay, he's pretty nice. Like he was going nuts, but it kind of averaged out to about 35%. And again, he was like hands down, in my opinion, the best player on his team in college on a in the WCC, which is not like a, like the premier conference in college basketball.
Right.
And Grady Dick played at Kansas, 6'8". I actually like his off-ball game a lot. He's getting knocked as not being a premier movement shooter. I think that he can be. I also like his stuff that he can do when he's not shooting. Like, there was one game that I watched with him against TCU where the shot wasn't going, but he can attack the basket. He can rebound. The defense is further along than other people give him credit for. But those are my four kind of targets that I would, if I'm Toronto, like, at worst, the worst shooter out of this group shot 35% on a high volume and difficult shot making. So all great shooters that were going to be available for Toronto.
I love to hear that. I'm not going to lie. As soon as you said Jet Howard was 6'8 and shot 40% from deep, I'm like, let me search him up because that sounds like a Masai Ujiri guy. Yeah. And I couldn't find his wingspan. It's NNA on every single board that I looked at, but I was really looking for it. I was like, does he meet the criteria here? But I love that. I love that there are so many shooters in this draft class. I think that that's sort of music to a lot of Raptor fans' ears. And if we can get somebody who can shoot the ball, I mean, where would this team be? Where would this team be?
Opens the floor for your guys a lot more, you know?
It's very true. And you know what else opens the floor for our guys more? Guys who have great rim pressure, guys who can get to the rim. That's something that the Raptors really lack, right? Their one point guard that we do have is Fred VanVleet, who is 6 feet tall. So yes, he's the best at getting into the paint. He's the best at getting to the rim and getting all the way there, but he's obviously not going to finish at a high rate just because he is always the smallest guy on the court. And so who, like, is there sort of that quick guy, is there that quick guard who can, you know, take people off the dribble and really get to the rim? Because I think that that's, you know, as much as the Raptors need shooting, they also just need someone who can get downhill. Are there some guys in there that can do a lot of that the Raptors should be looking at as well?
So I'll give you three names here. The first one is the guy that I was referring to earlier that I have eighth on my board, but everywhere else I'm seeing, like, he's falling significantly further down. And that's Jalen Huchefino out of Indiana.
Okay.
And the reason that I like him a lot is that he plays with a pace unto himself. And typically when you see a player that plays at his own unique pace, that translates really well into the NBA. Now, I don't mean to get crazy high hopes up for people, but I love him, right? Like, absolutely adore him. So he is about 6'5 to 6'6 and is a guard. So he's got good guard size, which would fit kind of that Toronto Raptor mold.
Yeah.
The reason that I like him so much is because he plays with such a mature manner to his game. And with the size that he has and the feel that he has, he reminds me, I'm not saying he's going to be them, but he reminds me of, like, guys like Tyrese Halliburton and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, just because of the intersection of size and feel for the game.
Right.
His best games this year, like, measure up to anybody's best games this year.
Okay.
And he's being able to play off of a guy like Trayce Jackson-Davis at Indiana, who was another high efficiency player in college basketball. So he doesn't have to do everything himself. He's used to playing off of another player, especially in the front court. So that music to Toronto fans' ears. I just love the unique style of play that he has. He's not really like a gunner. He's not like super quick, like a Min Thompson or anything like that. But he understands angles, works well off of the pick and roll. I think there's so much more to his game that he's going to be able to unlock as, like, a true blue freshman within this class at his age. I think the sky is the limit for him. And usually when we see these guys, like, look at where Shai was drafted. Look at where Tyrese Halliburton were drafted in their respective draft classes. And now one's, like, getting MVP votes and the other one is a league leader in assists.
Yeah.
So
All-star and all-NBA.
Exactly, right? So, like, tremendous players that revisionist history would say, oh, okay, well, if you looked at this, this, and this, this is why they failed. This is why they should have been higher. I think Jalen Huchefino is that next style of guard that's in line.
That's really interesting. So I do believe that, like, if they're – I think the thing is two guys that Masai really desperately wanted to get into the lottery for – Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Those are the two guys that he fought to get into the lottery for. So that's interesting. That's interesting. I mean, I'm assuming there's no Giannis in this draft class. I mean, there's Victor Wembanyama. There's a 7-foot version of it.
So there's actually a guy, if I can deviate from the outline here.
Oh, yeah. No, like that's – let's pivot to the last portion. I mean, if there's no other guards that you want to throw in at me, because I feel like that's what every Raptor fan wants to talk about, my last question is, we're going to be talking about guards so much, but Masai Ujiri is just going to do what he always does and pick a guy who's like 6'9 with a 7-foot wingspan. He's going to pick Giannis Light. He's going to pick someone who resembles that the most. Is there that guy in this draft?
I think there's a few. The one that I'm excited about is a player that I actually had a chance to interview very early on in the season. Okay. And it's funny you mentioned, like, there's not a Giannis Antetokounmpo in this draft. Bobby Klintman out of Wake Forest. Now, for people who are listening to the name and are going straight to College Basketball Reference, you're going to be a little disappointed at the numbers at face value, right?
Okay.
He's from Malmo, Sweden. In the U21 tournament, he was putting up like 20-10-5 in against players around his age. He moved from Sweden to go play at Sunrise Christian with Grady Dick and Mark Mitchell. And then from there, he moved to North Carolina. Now, the reason he didn't stay international is that he wanted to learn the American style of game because he figured that's how he's going to make the most amount of money. It worked out pretty well for him in high school. And in college, in the second half of the season, he actually started playing really well. He's about 6'10", shot really well from three, like about 37%, I want to say off the top of my head. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but shot very well.
Yeah.
Shows great feel for the game, has a good positional handle. And his nickname is the Swede Freak because he is like idolizing Giannis and kind of models his game. And in the interview I had with him, he was like, people actually like come up to me and be like, are you Giannis? Because they actually kind of look very similar in features. So he is kind of a name that is rising to the forefront in draft circles right now. I think I just saw something like Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. I think put him at 15th or something like that.
Okay.
So he is, he is rising.
Which was Giannis's pick. That was where Giannis was drafted at. There we go.
Exactly, right? So many stark comparisons between them. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be Giannis, but he is probably going to be the late season riser. And at 6'10", can play the 3 and the 4, maybe the 5 when he beefs up. And here's the thing, like kind of contextualizing the numbers a little bit.
Yeah.
He grew to like 6'10", 6'11", and to 220 pounds within 2 years. So he's like still learning how to play basketball with his frame, yet still being
that's like an
productive
Anthony Davis level growth spurt, right? Like a guard who just became a 7-footer overnight.
Not as drastic, right? Like 6'8", but still like a good growth spurt, still learning the frame, and shows great feel for the game. Like those type of players are pretty enticing, and NBA front offices liked him enough to invite him in the combine, which means that he had to meet a certain metric of NBA front office to say, yes, let's get this guy in front of me. So teams love him, and he's going to be a late riser.
All right. I mean, I was really expecting there not to be an answer to that, and now I'm just processing. Have I just thrown everybody else away? Have I found my pick? Do I need any more? No, I'm kidding. No, but thank you so much for joining. Now, I want to close off on this with saying, like, with all the names that you threw out there, if you had the choice, assuming that most of those guys are there, or if you can maybe narrow it down to like two or three that you think, considering the Raptors' needs, if I tell you I need a guard, I need someone who can get downhill, but I need playmaking, I need shooting. If I told you those are my three biggest needs, we're going to keep Giannis. We're going to keep baby Giannis. We're just going to move him to the side. He's a lock. And we want three other guys that we're talking about, just guard specific. And then maybe we can pick one that isn't a guard just off.
Okay. Yeah. So if Bobby's off to the side, like
Bobby's
you
off
made
to the side.
Okay. Perfect. Cause I love Bobby. he's like the sweetest kid I've ever had a chance to talk to, but,
that makes me want him on the team. Even I love when people say a prospect is nice. I'm like, yeah, let's draft him. I like nice people on my team.
I legit told him that if I had a daughter his age, he could marry my daughter. I told him that like during the interview. So, I think Jalen Hutchinson, one, because I have him ranked as high as I do on my board. And then two, I think he meets so many of the Toronto Raptors' needs. I think that that's a hand in glove fit. So he would be like on my Mount Rushmore, he's number one. for the turnaround Raptors in this draft class. I think Bryce Sensabaugh is another one who isn't like a lead guard, but is like a perimeter-based scorer who can give offense and bunches to a team that kind of needs it. And I think that there is going to be more to his passing game than there was in Ohio State. One, because it's going to be hard for it to be lower. And two, I think playing with better caliber players is going to open up his game a lot. So, and then I think Cason Wallace is like the, if you like had to pick one player that you know is going to start on this team tomorrow and contribute, I think Cason would be like the, if I had to play it safe and invest, you know, millions of dollars, which these front offices do, Cason is probably going to be like the most surefire of any of these three.
I mean, that's so much to chew on as we head into this lottery that's coming up, and hopefully the Raptors move up and we're talking about, you know, we're throwing this all away and it's just Victor Wembanyama. But if it's not the case, thank you so much for joining us and giving us so much to think and talk about. I'll leave you with any sort of parting words on this draft. Or actually, let me ask you, like, I think Raptor fans are kind of worried about the fact that they just have the 13th pick. And I think, I'm hoping then you're walking away from this podcast feeling a little bit better, because there seems to be a lot of really great young talent that they can pick around the 13th mark. But I'd let you say it, because I feel like you can say that much smarter than I, or you can disagree with me if I'm wrong. Like, do you think that having a late lottery pick is like worth it in this draft, or do you think that you really need to be in the top five to have a guy who can be rookie of the year? Scotty Barnes has set the bar high for any rookie coming in.
Well, Scotty proved me wrong. I was low on him. I'll just to kind of just so people know that I'm being honest about what I'm saying, right? Like, I'm trying to be brave and come on a Raptors podcast and say that Scotty proved me wrong. And
where's the end button? Where's the
there
end
we
button?
Go. Yeah. See you later. No. I think the reason I say that is because I think that this draft class could go down as an all-timer. I think, you know, it compares pretty, you know, kind of in a scary way to the 1996 draft class with Kobe Bryant. Yeah. There you go.
Ray Allen. Yep.
So a lot of like big names, but there is also some good depth, you know, just like, as far as like a draft goes, it's like one of the Mount Rushmore drafts in all of basketball. Yeah. I honestly think that this class can rival it. One, because it's got the top heavy people. Like, people are trying to say that it's a three-man draft at the top. I actually think it's four. Cam Whitmore is a star, in my opinion, like waiting to happen. If you got the fourth pick, like, please don't be afraid. Cam Whitmore is waiting for you. He wants you to
Chris
take him.
Bosch, Scotty Barnes, Cam Whitmore. We got it, Raptors.
There we go. If you get
Vince
four.
Was also a fourth pick, right? We just traded for him with our fifth pick. There we go.
All
down the line.
But like, there is a pretty decent drop off at around 22, 23 on my board, which if you got 13, you're still well within. And
The good thing we didn't make the playoffs.
Playoff schmayoffs, you know, you want to hit the draft. That way you can win a championship down the line, especially with the new CBA stuff that's coming out.
Okay, but very true. Yeah, we'll get into that in the offseason, guys.
I'm not here for that, but you know, something to consider for as far as drafts go. But I think that with the team needs that you have, the quality of this draft, like, don't fret that you got the 13th pick. You can get a very, very good contributor in a draft class like this one.
Yep. And guys, it's not a guarantee that the Raptors do end up with a 13th pick. Of course, they have the opportunity to move up. It's just very, very slight. I think there's a bigger chance that they drop to 14th than it is that they move up to anywhere in the top four. But thank you so much for joining me today, Stephen. Once again, can I get you to plug in all of your socials and where people can find you? And thank you, everyone, for joining me for another episode.
Well, thank you for having me, Iman. This was a great opportunity. And thank you for thinking of me and reaching out. Happy to do this any other time that you want to get together. But for anyone who wants to find and follow me, again, NoCeilingsNBA.com. That's where all of my written work is going to be posted. All of my podcasts are going to be available. I'm a part of the show Draft Deeper, which is every Monday. But we have shows Monday through Friday at No Ceilings NBA Podcast. And then at No Ceilings TV on YouTube, that's where all of our interviews, written work. We got some cool like mock draft stuff that's coming out on there too. So please go subscribe to that. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, Stephen G Hoops, that's Stephen with the PH, the letter G and Hoops. And shout out to the Raptors fan base. I'm excited to see what you guys do. And Iman, again, thank you so much for having me. It's
thank you for having me. This was so great. I cannot wait to do a deep dive. So the next time I have you on, I know who people are. I just have more knowledge. I'm looking forward to digging into the podcast and to all of the written work as well. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.